Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, November 24th, Archbishop Gallagher stresses that rejection of war and dialogue are the only means to attain durable peace. In Afghanistan, an estimated 28 million people would need humanitarian assistance this winter. And Pope Francis calls for more women theologians, saying they give greater depth and flavor to theology. In the Vatican, I am Francesca Merlo. On Wednesday, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, addressed the Union of Superiors General as they gathered in Rome for their 98th Assembly. Their meeting is focused on the theme Fratelli Tutti, called to be artisans of peace, drawn from Pope Francis's encyclical on human fraternity. In his opening remarks, Archbishop Gallagher emphasized that rejection of war to solve conflicts and dialogue at all costs are the only means to attain durable peace. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Addressing the Union of Superiors General, or USG, at the opening of their assembly, Archbishop Gallagher insisted that the Church cannot but be committed to peace. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations noted that Pope Paul VI's emphasis on dialogue as the only means to attain peace is still expressed incessantly today by Pope Francis, who has referred to the current global geopolitical situation, including the ongoing war in Ukraine, as a Third World War. Archbishop Gallagher remarked that ensuring peace implies, first of all, the total rejection of war and seeking dialogue at any cost, helping to create a climate of growing trust that guarantees a path towards the future. Likewise, it is necessary to ensure the foundations of peace, which he noted is not only the absence of conflicts, but the peaceful resolution of disputes between nations with a view to safeguarding human rights. Rights, including the right to freedom of conscience and of religion. Archbishop Gallagher further noted that war can be prevented by promoting social progress for the new generations. The USG Assembly will run until Friday, November the 25th, and will conclude on Saturday with a meeting in the Vatican with Pope Francis. The Union gathers the Superiors General of men religious institutes or societies of apostolic life. The purpose of the USG is to promote the life and mission of the individual institutes at the service of the Church for a more effective collaboration among them and for a more fruitful contact with the Holy See and the hierarchy. I am Lisa Zingarini.
A group of Afghan refugees arrived in Rome on Thursday thanks to the groundbreaking humanitarian corridor project that allows vulnerable people a safe and legal passage as they flee violence, poverty, persecution and other injustices. As Zinda Bordoni reports, the project has been upheld by Pope Francis and foresees the welcome, protection, promotion and integration of refugees and migrants in Europe.
The 152 men, women and children on a flight from Islamabad touched down at Rome's Fiumicino airport on Thursday to a warm welcome and the support of church and government organisations in their quest for safety and a better future. Their arrival in Europe comes at a time in which Afghanistan is witnessing one of the world's most extensive and severe hunger crises, and amid news of the tightening of rights and freedoms on the part of the ruling Taliban. The group arrived thanks to the self-financed humanitarian corridors organised and promoted by the Rome-based community of Sant'Egidio, in collaboration with the Federation of Evangelical Churches in Italy and the Waldensian Table and Italian government. The idea for the project was born after over 300 people died on the 3rd of October 2013 when a boat carrying refugees and migrants sank off the coast of Lampedusa. The tragedy shocked Italy and Europe and led to the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the parties and the establishment of the corridors that aim to avoid perilous journeys, to stop exploitation by human traffickers and to grant people a legal and safe entry into Italy through the necessary security controls by national authorities. Pope Francis has endorsed the project and called for concerted action to create extensive humanitarian corridors to offer protection and solidarity to those on the move. Thanks to the legal infrastructure created by the project, he was able to personally bring three Syrian families back to Rome from the Greek island of Lesbos in 2016 after a visit to the refugee and migrant camps there. The refugees who arrive in Rome are sheltered and helped to become self-sufficient and integrated into Italian society thanks to a program that includes housing, legal aid, language classes, enrollment in schools for the children, and help with employment. Since the establishment of the humanitarian corridors, over 5,300 refugees have been brought safely to Europe and have found support and fraternity thanks to a widening network of solidarity. I'm Linda Bordoni.
As we just heard, the situation in Afghanistan is critical, and the fears are that as winter approaches, it will only get worse. As Nathan Morley reports, it is likely that more than 28 million people in the country will need humanitarian assistance.
The Taliban's return to power in Afghanistan last year, followed by the disruption of international financial assistance, left the beleaguered country in economic and humanitarian turmoil. Just last week, the UN painted a bleak picture of the conditions there, warning that what was an already desperate humanitarian situation would only get worse for millions of people as temperatures across the country begin to plummet. It's now estimated that up to 28 million people, that's two-thirds of the entire population, will need humanitarian assistance. That's up from 18 million people just 2 years ago. Compounding matters even further, it was recently revealed that the number of dangerously malnourished children admitted to the Save the Children mobile health clinics in the country had increased by 47% since January, with some babies dying before managing to receive any treatment. Experts had hoped to see a drop in hunger levels during the recent summer harvest in Afghanistan, but the ongoing drought has led to failed crops and harvests have been much smaller than normal, forcing many rural families to sell land and livestock to buy food. According to the NGO Action Against Hunger, conflict remains the key driver of hunger around the world. The war in Ukraine has exacerbated the hunger crisis in East Africa and elsewhere because of the skyrocketing food and fertilizer prices. Climate disasters like drought and floods are also a major driver of food insecurity. The World Food Programme, for their part, say that up to 49 million people in 46 countries are experiencing a severe food crisis and could fall into famine unless they receive immediate life-saving support. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In other world news, representatives from Russia and Ukraine met in the United Arab Emirates last week to discuss the possibility of a prisoner of war swap that would be linked to a resumption of Russia ammonia exports, which go to Asia and Africa via a Ukrainian pipeline, three sources with knowledge of the meeting said. The sources said the talks were being mediated by the Gulf Arab state and did not include the United Nations, despite the UN's central role in negotiating the ongoing initiative to export agricultural products from three Ukrainian Black Sea ports. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has demanded the United Nations punish Russian airstrikes on civilian infrastructure after a missile barrage caused the worst nationwide power outages yet, plunging cities into freezing darkness. With millions of Ukrainians enduring below zero temperatures at home, authorities were working hard on Thursday to get the lights and heat back on. Russia's latest missile barrage killed 10 people, shut down Ukraine's nuclear power plants, and knocked out most power nationwide. Turning now to Haiti, children are suffering the brunt of the cholera outbreak and other privations, as James Blears reports.
The United Nations Children's Organization, UNICEF, says that around 40% of confirmed cholera cases in Haiti are children, but that proportion is way higher in rural areas where malnutrition is chronic. Following a 4 days visit to Haiti, UNICEF concludes that malnutrition, cholera and violence are terrible, tangible and daily threats to the lives of thousands of Haitian children. The UN says 4.7 million Haitians, which is about half the population, are suffering the pangs of acute hunger. In other words, they're starving. Cholera is spreading like wildfire in many areas where there aren't proper sewers, clean drinking water, or bottled water. A cholera epidemic in 2010 directly linked to UN peacekeepers killed more than 10,000 Haitians, sickening many more. UNICEF also reports that the neighboring Dominican Republic has this year expelled and deported 2,000 unaccompanied Haitian children. The two nations share the island of Hispaniola and a 290-kilometer border, but apparently little else. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
In Indonesia, authorities struggled on Thursday to get aid to thousands of people displaced by a deadly earthquake in western Java, as rain-triggered landslides and difficult mountainous terrain hampered the efforts of rescue teams. Monday's 5.6 magnitude earthquake in the town of Cianjur, about 75 kilometers south of the capital Jakarta, killed at least 272 people and left thousands sheltering in tents with scant medical and aid supplies. Meanwhile, Israel has cancelled 200 out of some 15,500 permits issued to Palestinians from the Gaza Strip to work in its territory after a labourer was accused of planning to carry out a bombing, the Shin Bet Security Agency said on Thursday. And finally, Pope Francis thanked members of the International Theological Commission for their valuable work during an audience on Thursday and offered them three orientations for their work: creative fidelity to the tradition, openness to the contributions of various disciplines, and collegiality. The Pope also called for more women theologians, saying they can give greater depth and flavour to theology. Christopher Wells reports.
In an audience with members of the International Theological Commission on Thursday, Pope Francis expressed his pleasure at hearing that the body would be continuing its service to the Church in coming years by investigating themes of Christology, anthropology, and the theology of creation. He reminded theologians that they are called to carry out their work along the lines traced out by the Second Vatican Council.
Siete chiamati a compierlo nel solco tracciato dal Concilio Vaticano,
which, he said, constitutes the sure compass for the journey of the Church in our day. The Holy Father then proposed three directions for them as they follow this path: creative fidelity to tradition, openness to the whole range of human knowledge, and collegiality. Pope Francis then expressed his hope that the work of the Commission might be tranquil and fruitful,
un sereno e proficuo lavoro,
undertaken in a spirit of mutual listening, dialogue, and communal discernment, and in openness to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He recalled again the great importance of the themes they will be investigating and encouraged them to teach theology in a way that provokes wonder and awe in those who hear them. Finally, after thanking members once again for their work and offering them a blessing, Pope Francis suggested that it would be important to increase the number of women theologians.
Non perché stiano de moda, no.
Not, he said, because it is fashionable.
Ma che hanno un pensiero diverso degli uomini e fanno dalla teologia qualcosa più profonda e più saporita pure. Grazie.
But because women bring a different intellectual perspective to theology, which can give theology greater depth and flavor. I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.